Hello, everybody. My name is Evan Finley. I'm an alcoholic. I do use first and last name. We're anonymous outside of the rooms. My sponsor is Robert McElwain. He's from the Pacific Groups. And I think a few people here know him, and what a journey this has been. I have a sponsor, as I said, and most importantly now, I have a higher power. That's something I didn't have. I remember both my first drink and my last drink. Oddly enough, I was about 4 years old, and I was sitting on my Scottish grandfather's lap, and my great-grandfather and my father was there, four generations of us, and I'm sitting there watching this stuff in this cup. I kept really, really looking at it, in this ice, and they thought it'd be kind of fun to let me have a sip. I took a sip, and oh, that stuff was nasty. It was scotch. Cutty Sark, I still remember the green bottle with the yellow, 4 years old with Cutty Sark. It was nasty, but oh my goodness, that warm, fuzzy feeling I felt at 4 years old. I didn't realize it then, but I look back at it now retrospectively, and I have chased it ever since. It was horrible. It was like drinking gasoline, but I loved it. My last drink was at 8:09 a.m. on January 18th of 2019. My friend was sitting with me. There's a whole backstory of how we got to this point, but she says, when are you going to actually stop drinking? And I looked up at this clock on the wall, and that clock and that 8:09 a.m. just burnt in my mind, and I took that last sip of whiskey, and I poured it down the drain, and I've not had a drink since. Hopefully, it'll be a long time before I do, if I ever do, but it was quite a journey. I had more of a Leave It to Beaver family. I didn't have a really horrible childhood, and I hear a lot of people say how they had this horrible, all this trauma and all these things happen to them, and I made those things happen to me. So I really don't think you have to have a horrible childhood to be an alcoholic. One of my friends, both him and his sister, had the same horrible childhood, and he's an alcoholic and she's not. I am. So I grew up at the beach. Great family, surfed all my life. Through part of my story, I ended up in Bakersfield. Someone told me it was the vacation capital of California, and I believed them. So, ended up there, and that was quite a story getting there. I'm 58. Grew up in Los Angeles in the hardcore punk scene. I mean, we're little surfer kids, but we drank a lot more than just the regular kids. So at the parties, we started to not be invited because we were too rowdy. We got too drunk, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who could identify. But in the punk scene, it was cool to be stupid. It was cool to puke and drink more. So I fit right in. So hardcore punk all the way in L.A. And ended up getting married. And that really, I think, kept me alive or out of prison. Have been to county jail. L.A. County Jail is not a cakewalk. But it slowed me down enough to have a lot of things. I had a lot of things. I had properties all over the United States. I was a glassblower. I traveled the United States for a decade doing art shows. And what's funny is when I look at my phone, I still have my phone from back then. When I look at the search, every time I go to a town, I was searching liquor stores and bars around where I was going to be. Now that I'm sober, I'm searching up AA meetings in different places. It's totally different life. It's wonderful. But as I said, ex-wife. My drinking started getting really bad again. And I tried this program about four times. I mean, there's all the things that it says here as far as swearing it off and switching from scotch to brandy. I did all that stuff. But I really tried four times to really try and stop. There's a whole backstory that a lot of us have as far as how we got here and all that, the drunk log and stuff. I'm not really going to get into that. Get closer to the solution and the joy that's brought in my life. First time I really tried to stop drinking was my ex-wife said, stop drinking or I'm going to leave you. Dang, that really gave me a lot of fear, a lot of insecurity. So I gave it maybe 50% AA, and I still had about 50% me. Well, that lasted about a month. Till I got that security back. Then the second time she gave me that ultimatum, I gave it about 75% AA and still held on about 25% me, but the damage was done, hence ex-wife. So I went down a rabbit hole and I drank for seven, almost 8 years. I lost about a decade of just being in a drunken stupor. I was a walking DUI for about a decade, barely held onto a job, moved into this condemnable trailer in Oildale. There's your Oildale. And this trailer park was full of meth and heroin, so I thought I was a lot better than everybody because I was just an alcoholic. And in 2016, when I had blood coming out both ends, I thought, I need to do something. And I really, really thought I was surrendering. And so I went to rehab, was voted the most likely to succeed. That lasted about 5 or 6 months. And I learned all this stuff retrospectively. And because every time I tried to stop drinking, I really thought that was the time. This time is going to be different. I gave it 95% AA and still held on to that 5% me. Now there's more things that are continually coming to light and making sense in the book. When I read the same thing over and over, that's why we read these same things, that eventually something will click. There will be a life change or something that, oh, now that makes sense. So when it says some of us held on to our old ideas and the result was nil until we let go absolutely, now I see what that means. January 18th of 2019, I was afraid to think. I was afraid to make my own decisions. All of my thinking was on that previous alcoholic drinking. I drank for 39 years alcoholically. 39 years. I'll be 100 and something if I ever got as many years sober as I did drunk. So I had my sponsor, I had my sponsorship family. I started looking at everybody as us and we instead of they and them. That portion of chapter 5, how it works, if you count every I, we, and us in there, it's over 50 times. There's only one time in that reading that it says I, and that's in the context, what an order, I can't go through with it. So it is a together thing. The first time I tried to get sober, I was talking about all the things that I had lost. And some old-timer said, you didn't lose it, you threw that stuff away. And yeah, instant resentment. I'm like, screw you, who do you think you are? And I thought, well, wait a second. He's like, well, yeah, you throw money in a fire, it's gone. But you lose your keys, and you can find them. So actually, I did think, okay, I threw all that stuff away, and that was a very humbling thing at that point. But now I really realize that I did throw a lot of things away and accept the fact that I'll never have them back. But there's a lot of things that I lost that I've actually found. Friendship, the ability to laugh, my higher power, relationships. I hadn't talked to my parents in over 13 years. And last November they came to see me. They lived way out in Colorado and they were going out to Alabama and Texas, so that was nowhere near California. But they made a special trip just to come see me for a couple days. I thought that would never, ever happen. It was absolutely fantastic. With my new sponsor, he had me reading this book, and a portion of it had, it was from Dr. Paul O, the book. He wrote quite a few, but this one portion that really, really sunk into me was Father Barney, back in the 50s, 60s, he compared alcoholism and recovery to baseball. So first base is physically sober. Second base is mentally sober. Anybody can get there. That's your dry drunk. That's a miserable state just to stay there. Third base is emotionally sober, and fourth base is spiritually sober. That made so much sense. I have now found that higher power, and I see when I'm emotionally off, I've lost touch with that spiritual side of my program. So to stick with that spiritual side of my program, I had a spiritual malady. And as long as I stick to those spiritual principles and that spiritual program, everything just seems to fall into place. And it's so much easier to control my life than trying to control everybody else's. If I just do me and my higher power, it is an absolutely wonderful life. Last thing I'll leave with is one sentence that really stands out to me on page 152. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thank you.